rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. God is good. Not just summertime, but God is good all of the time. And all of the time, God is good. We're thankful to have each and every person on the call this morning, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. You are a very honored and distinguished guest of our audience, and we pray that you will listen carefully as I talk about the things that God would have us to do to save our souls. In the Churches of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right, every word of the Bible is right. No, we never saw Jesus hang on a cross in Jerusalem, but we believe it because of this book called the Bible, and our faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. And God so loved us, He gave His Son, John 3:16, and His Son gave His life, suffered a cruel death on the cross. And there He shed the blood that would purchase His church, the Church of Christ. The same blood washed His sins away in baptism, born obedience to God's Word. In baptism, you can be washed of all of your sins. Then the Lord adds you to the only church in the Bible, that is the Church of Christ. We speak the truth in love, and we want everyone to know that we believe that God has done His part. Jesus done His part, and God leaves it up to us to do our part to save our precious soul. We'll continue our study this morning of the book of Acts. Hopefully you've been enjoying the study of Acts, and turn to chapter 11 where we'll be at today. We looked at chapter 10 last week, and Cornelius was a Gentile. And he was the first Gentile that obeyed the gospel. And Peter was sent to him to tell him what he had to do to be saved. And so in chapter 11 now, Peter is being questioned about why he went to the Gentile. Let me just say up front that even in biblical times, there were people who were prejudiced. But God is setting the record straight here. That God is not a respecter of person. And Peter had to learn this lesson. The Jews had issues with the Gentiles. But God sent Peter down to preach to them. In chapter 11, he will be questioned. I entitled this lesson, "What Was I That I Could Withstand God?" This is Peter's statement. And I'm going to talk about that here shortly. Let's go to chapter 11, verse number 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. So these are Jews, apostles and brethren, primarily Jewish audience, obeyed the gospel in Acts 2. Now in Acts 10, we see that they heard that the Gentiles had also, as with them, received the word of God. Let me just say up front that until a person received the word of God, they will never be saved. James 1:21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. No one will be saved until they decide that the Bible, the Word of God, has all the right answers. When you believe that the Word of God has the right answers, you will receive it and you will obey it, or you will reject it. In John 12:48, Jesus said, "He that rejected me receiveth not my word, had one that judged him. The words that I have spoken, the same will judge you in the last day." So every man, woman, boy, girl who reject the Word of God, we'll also hear about it on their judgment. But those who receive the word of God would then be obedient to the word and do what God told them to do in order to be saved. So here it is. The Gentiles have received the word of God. I mean, they obeyed. And when Peter, verse 2, was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, "Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised, and didst eat with them." So Peter, Jews, under Judaism, he had to be circumcised. So Gentiles were of the uncircumcised. The circumcision was Jewish brothers who is circumcised to become be a part of the Jewish religion. Now, the Gentiles were considered the uncircumcised, and now they are being brought into the fold of God. So Peter's question, but Peter, verse 4, rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by the four corners, and it came even to me. Now, Peter is now rehearsing or going back, we read this in chapter 10, explaining to these Jewish brethren what he went through, what he experienced that day before he went to Cornelius' household. He said he was praying. He was in a trance, and he saw a vision. And now he's recapping what happened and why he went to Cornelius. He said, verse 6, upon the which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered the four-footed beast of the earth and wild beast and creeping things and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Rise, Peter, slay and eat. There were certain meats they couldn't eat under the Jewish law. And I explained that last week, and you can go back and look at those different meats that they were forbidden to eat. So he's saying, I considered, I saw these things that I was not supposed to eat under the Jewish religion. And he said, I heard a voice saying to me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But Peter, being a devout Jew, he said, I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath yet any time entered into my mouth. So I have not violated the old law, the Old Testament law, where I was forbidden to eat. That's what he's saying, basically. But the voice answered me, Peter says, again from heaven, what God has cleansed, that call not thou common. He said, this was done three times. And all were drawn up again into heaven. So he's recapping the vision. Eating things that was forbidden to eat. And he said, but the voice told me, hey, God has cleaned this thing. Don't you call it common. He said, it happened three times. In verse 11, he said, behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. So he bring six brothers that were Jews with him back to explain why he went down to the Gentiles. It'd be like today, those who are prejudiced. Whites or blacks, you know, back in the time when racism was really worse than it is now, where, you know, the blacks couldn't drink out of the same fountain as the whites and things like that. And then think about it, if I went down and drunk out of a white fountain, then the brother would question that, or a white brother would question why a white man wouldn't drink with a black man. That's kind of what's going on here. But they asking him questions. He said, I got six witnesses, six brethren who were with me, and we went into this man's house. This man he's talking about is Cornelius. In verse 13, watch this. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said to him, send me into Joppa, called for Simon, whose surname is Peter. So he says, Cornelius told him what the angel said to him. And he sent for Simon, who was Peter, to come down there. Now, verse 14, who shall tell thee words? It's important. To be saved, you got to know the word of God. And faith comes by hearing by the word of God. So, Peter had to tell them the words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And I want to stop right there because there are some who want to contend that Cornelius was already saved. But here the Holy Spirit reveals that the purpose for Peter going to Cornelius so that he could be saved. So that proves right there that he wasn't saved, even though he was a praying man, even though he had alms, even though he was devoted to and feared God, he was not saved. Today there are many people who are believers in God. They're good people, but they're not saved. Why? Because they have not obeyed the gospel. They have not been taught the word of God properly. Many have been told things that are not according to God's word. Even Jesus, Matthew 7:21, he says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. These are believers that won't get to go to heaven. He says, many will say unto me that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works. These were good people, just like Cornelius. They done many wonderful works in the name of Jesus. But verse 23, Jesus says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Someone who come up with their own way to be saved did not obey the word of God. And that's what happens today in the religious world. Many people come up with what they believe, what they say they must do to be saved, but they have not gone to the word of God. This would be the case with me and many others who grew up in religious organizations where we took what our mama told us, or our daddy told us, or our grandmother, and we believed that you were saved if you just, as long as you believed, as long as you were a good person, you believed, you were saved. These were the things I heard as I grew up under the Baptist faith. Good people, all Baptist people, good people. It's not about the people being bad. It's about any of us, no matter who we are. We got to understand to be saved as Cornelius, we had to do what the word of God says do. This man was not saved until Peter went down there and told him what to do. Verse 15, Peter said, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us. So he's reminding them guys in Acts 2, if you go back and listen to my sermon there, when the Holy Spirit of promise fell on them in the beginning, and they started speaking in tongues. Now he's saying that the same thing happened here with Cornelius, it happened to us. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, the how that he said, John indeed he baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, just like the apostles received the baptism of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, here is the last one that will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And this will be the Gentiles, Cornelius. So apostles and Cornelius and his household were all baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, we got to understand that none of that's happened today. This is the end of it, of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 16:18, Jesus told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Unto thee I will give the keys to the kingdom. So what he did, Peter used the keys, which is the gospel, the preaching of God's word, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, could not be preached until Jesus actually died and was buried and rose again. So in Acts 2, he preached that death, burial, and resurrection. Here in Acts 10, to the Jews. In Acts 10, he preached the same gospel to the Jews. Now, the doors are open to the church for Jews and Gentiles. Now, we're going to find out later on in this chapter, we won't get to it today, that they were called Christians first in Antioch. Acts 11:26. We won't get to that today, but I want to put an emphasis on that, that Jesus didn't, God did not even refer to them as Christians until the Jew and Gentile were all in one fellowship. Which tells me today that there is no white brotherhood and a black brotherhood. There is a brotherhood of Christians who are believers and obedient to God. God sees us all as one blood. Every man, no matter the color, skin, or nationality, bleed red blood. So God sees us all as one nation of people. One blood. So when we look at this, this is an important, pivotal moment in the church there in Jerusalem. One thing about this is that this is a time We think about 10 years later, before the Gentiles actually came into the church. So God is dealing with this, and he would not refer to them as Christians until they're all in one body. And that's important to know, that God did not go along with racism, being prejudiced, and neither do we as Christians. Anyone who believes they can go along with hating someone because of the color of their skin. Let me be the first to tell you, so you won't be shocked on judgment, that you won't get to go to heaven. So anything like that, we have to understand that that's not something God is pleased with, because God is of no respecter of persons. So we cannot be of any respecter of persons. When we look at this, it's a very important time in the life of the church where God is bringing all of them into one church. Ephesians chapter 3, Paul wrote it like this in verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, for who? Gentiles. See, Paul became a preacher to the Gentiles, as Peter was a preacher to the Jews. Well, now they're preaching to both Jews and Gentiles. In verse 2, he says, but if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to your word, watch how you get it, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. It's a mystery. What mystery? As I wrote afore in few words. So there was a mystery that was being revealed. And Paul said, I wrote it in words. That's what we have today called the Bible. Now, notice what he says, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So it requires reading the Word of God, reading and hearing, which in other ages were not made known unto the sons of men, and is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit guided the apostles and prophets to write what we have today that we call the Bible. It's called the Word of God, also Scripture in the Bible. We have the written word that we must read in order to know what God's will is for our life, in order to save our souls, and how we will live after we become Christians. He said, now, notice in verse number 6. He said, well, not known by the Son of Man in verse 5, but is revealed to the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So what Peter learned when he was on that housetop, God was revealing to him that the Gentiles would be in the same church with the Jews. So he killed it right there. And the Holy Spirit guided Peter to understand it. In Ephesians 3:6, he said that the Gentiles, here's what's revealed, should be fellow heirs, notice this, and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So what did Paul learn? What did Peter learn? That the Jews and Gentiles, blacks and whites, would be in the same body. Now, what is that body? Let's go to Ephesians 4 now, in verse 4. What is the body that the Jew and Gentile will be in? Ephesians 4:4 said there is one body. Notice that. There's one body. Now, listen carefully, especially if you're visiting with us and you're not a member of the Church of Christ. This is something I learned as a young man after losing my brother and visiting the Church of Christ. There's only one body. What is that body? Well, let's go back to chapter 1 now of Ephesians, verse 22. Listen to it. He had put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Are you there? Ephesians 1:22. Watch this now. There's a comma there. Verse 23, he's going to tell you what the church is, which is his body. So on page 1, he tells us the church is the body. Chapter 1, we call it. Chapter 4, he's there as one body. So the church is his body. So if there's one body, and body means church, then that means there's one church. Let's go back to Ephesians 4:4. He says here, there is one body, one spirit. So we believe in one church, one Holy Spirit, even as you are called and one hope of your calling. One Lord, that's Jesus. one faith, that's the Bible, one baptism, that's in water, and one God and Father of all. That's the Father who sent the Son. So we believe in, when you read this book, you have to believe in one church, one Holy Spirit, one hope of heaven, one Jesus, one faith, the Word of God, the Bible, one baptism, water, and one Father. Now, there is only one body. What Paul said in Ephesians 3 is that the Gentile would be fellow heirs, look at that now, that the Gentile should be fellow heirs and of the same church. Boy, if America could get this, and all the preachers today who preach from this book, they could not preach any church would do. I'm going to get to that later, too. But you can see the body of the church. Let's look at a couple of scriptures to prove that. In Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, and the verses number 18 and verse 24. Listen to this. Let me just show you so you'll be aware of the fact that when the Bible talks about body, it's talking about the church. And he said he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he might have the preeminence. Drop down to verse 24. Say this again. Verse 24, he says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Now, how many times the Bible got to see it before you believe it? There is one church in the Bible. Now, when you listen to Brother Brooks preach, I'm going to preach about the one church, the one Jesus, the one Father, the one Holy Spirit, and the one baptism. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and the verse number 13, 12, 12. Let's go to verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Look at that. I'm just proving that the body is the church and that the Jews and Gentiles are now in one church. In America, we got to see blacks, white, Hispanics, all Asians, everyone, to be saved must be in the one church. Now, notice verse 12. For as by the body, for as the body is one, had many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. Everywhere it says body, you can say church. You have not done any damage. You have not added to God's word, because body means church. So let's see it like this. For as the church is one, had many members, all the members of that one church, being many, are one church, so also is Christ. How many times you got to see it? Verse 13. For by one spirit, as one spirit, are we all baptized as one baptism into one church, one body. Whether it be Jews or Gentiles. There he said, Paul is saying the same thing. What God was doing was putting everyone in one church. And they had to get baptized to be in that one church. Drop down to verse 27. Listen to it now. Let's just say, now, he says, well, which church is that body? Now, he said, now ye are the body of Christ. What does body mean? Church. So Paul then said, now ye are the church of Christ, and members in particular. So which church is the one church? It's referred to as the church of Christ. In Romans 16, in verse 16, the apostle Paul then says it again. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. All across this world are churches of Christ who believe and teach the same thing. That's the emphasis here today, that God put all of us, regardless of race and nationality, people who are saved will be in the one church. Now, let's go back to Acts. I'm in verse 17. This is where Peter asked a question all of us got to ask ourselves. He questioned them guys who were questioning him. He said, for as much then as God gave them, talking about the Gentiles, the like gift as he did us, who believed on Jesus Christ. He says, here comes the question. What was I that I could withstand God? What was I? Or who am I? Peter said, who am I? He asked them guys, if God said the Gentiles are going to be in the one church, Peter comes back and asks all them who question him, who am I to question God, to withstand or go against what God has said? Now, just like Brother Brooke, who am I to question what God has said do in the scripture? Or you? Who are you to go against what God has said? That's what Peter's asking these guys. But notice in verse 18, and that's my title right there. When they heard these things, they held their peace. They got quiet. They stopped questioning Peter because Peter put a question on him and said, who am I? If God said blacks and whites going to be in one church, who am I to say they can't be in one church? Who am I to say Asians can't be in one church? Or Russians can't be in one church? All nations. Matthew 28:18. Jesus gave the command, go teach all nations. That means all nationalities. Go teach all nations. Then he said what to do, baptizing them in the name or by the authority of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That was a great commission given by Jesus to the apostles. They didn't get it at first. Peter didn't get it at first. But God put him in the trains and sent that sheet to him. Peter said, I perceive that God is no respecter of person. He got it. Yes, he did. So here it is. When these people, other Jews, heard that same thing, they got quiet, and they glorified God, saying, then had God also the Gentile granted repentance unto life? He granted repentance. The Jews said he's given the Gentiles the same opportunity to repent and be saved. And this is something I want to carefully say. You all, there's no one in this world that's so bad that they can't be saved. The only way you can miss being saved is because you just rejected or you did not obey God. But let me just say this. With so many people dying, it behooves us to be careful about looking at other people worse than we are. There's no one, no matter who they are, that are worse than you. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. So I ain't never killed nobody, raped nobody. Sin is spelled S-I-N. S-I-N, sin. Lying is sin. Killing is sin. Backbiting is sin. Gossiping is sin. Whispering is sin. Not loving a man because of the color of skin is hatred. That's sinful. Sin will bring a consequence. For the wages of sin is death. That's spiritual death. Sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. That's what's the problem here. Sin is the problem. Let me say this like this. It's sin, not skin. Sin. No matter what we're seeing going on across the nation, across the world, no matter who it is, from the White House to the outhouse, everybody got the sin issue. Sin, you think coronavirus is pandemic. I call it the sin coronavirus. That's the pandemic of the world. All over this world are people that are sinful. Sometimes we get so shocked and shook up about what one person's view is over another. Don't you know? That sin will paint a picture of what kind of person you are. And when you look at another person as if they're worse than you, and you just despise them because of their personal views of something, understand this. God gave his son to die for everyone. And those of us that are Christians, we are to love everybody. Because everyone have a soul. And so when you get so shook up over something, remember that God is shook up over you. Because you are shook up over another man who needs Jesus just like you do. When we get this right in our minds, we have no problem with other people. We just know they need Jesus. And we're not shocked or surprised about the things we see today. Why? Sinners do things what sinners do. If you're a Christian, you should have to run around saying, "Hey, everybody, look at me, I'm a Christian." People are going to know you're a Christian by the way you act, by the way you carry yourself, by the things you do, the way you present yourself, the way you present your views of others and other things, the way people treat others. We love our neighbors as ourselves. It's important for us to know this, especially in the world we live in today, because you get caught up in these things and lose your own soul because you don't understand that God granted to the non-Jews, to the Jews, to all nationalities, repentance. The opportunity to say, "I messed up." The opportunity to change your mind about the way you're living. To become a Christian, you have to repent. Which means you have to, repentance is simply a change of mind. If you walk in the wrong direction and someone informs you from the Word of God that you're going the wrong way, or you're acting the wrong way, or you're not doing it what would please God, then you have to turn around and start pleasing God. When you decide to become a Christian, you have to decide to start living like God wants you to live. You're making a decision to do what God tells you to do. You're making a decision that God granted to you called repentance. He granted to Gentiles. He granted to Cornelius. He granted to Peter the opportunity to repent. And when you're wrong, you're just wrong. And when you know that you believe in God, you believe in His Word. And His Word is always right over you. To be granted means He agreed to fulfill, allowed to have. God has agreed to fulfill. God has allowed us to have repentance of the life. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that God gives me a chance to repent. How many of you have made just one mistake in your life? Just one. Have you made sinful mistakes all throughout your life? Over and over again? Can we go to God asking for forgiveness over and over again? Yes. Because God is a God of second chances. But you're not going to change until you decide to change. A person's not going to get baptized until they repent that they haven't been baptized. They change their mind. I need to be baptized. A person not going to become a member of the one church until they repent. I'm not in the one church, and I need to be in the one church. A person not going to obey God's word until they make a decision. Now, I never read it before, so I repent. I'm going to start reading it. I didn't go to worship before. I repent. I'm going to start going to worship. I have not been to Bible class before, but I repent. I'm going to start going to Bible class. See, what is that repentance? It's unto life. What life? Eternal life. So what we're doing, you all, 80, 70 years old, 80 years old, 90 years old, you know, we ain't going to live forever, y'all. And so what God is doing is giving us a chance in this life to make decisions to change our lives. Every one of us have to make that decision in order to be saved. But it's granted to us. God has given us this right. He's agreed to fulfill it. If we repent, God is not willing that any of us perish. He's not. He's not willing that we perish. He wants all of us to come to repentance. That's what He's not willing that we perish. So God do not want us to lose our soul. But He gives us the freedom and the free will to make a decision on our own to change when we need to change. In order, what we need to change in order to please Him. This is important for us to remember that repentance, it happens on an individual basis. No matter how much I might love someone in my family or my friends or my acquaintances, or people I know that I work with or whatever, I want them to change. I would like for them to be baptized. My desire to be a member of true church, the Church of Christ. But at the end of the day, you all, no matter how much we want that, until that person, this is something I talked about last week, to kind of take away the concern that many of you have that because you're teaching someone the truth, you are bothered that they have not obeyed the truth. No one is going to obey the truth until they repent. And sometimes repentance means giving up what you were taught by your mama, your daddy, your sister, your brother, and start repenting that you didn't obey what God said. When a person repents that they didn't obey what God said, then that person then will be open to receive God's word with meekness. That means I got to let go of mama's words, daddy's words, my grandfather, grandmother, no matter how good they were. The word of God is the only thing that we have that we can find what we must do to be saved. So repentance unto life means making a decision to change so you can live eternally with God. I will say this again. You don't have to run around with a sign on your back saying, look at me, I'm a Christian. If you live right, people would notice it. They would notice there's something different about you. This person is different. Wow, they don't curse. They don't drink. They don't put down other people. They don't look down on people. They don't act like they're better than everybody else. What person is that? That's a person who lives according to God's word and know everybody has a precious soul. And when we know that, that person too will make their own decision to change when it's their time. It comes a time in your life when you want to change. There's some people who don't want to change. They're not going to change because they have no desire to change because they have not repented. What did God do for us? What does he do? God granted to the Gentiles, which is all of us who are non-Jews, repentance unto life. He granted us repentance unto life. And so Peter asked the question that I would ask this morning. He said, Brother Brooks, I just don't believe what you're teaching. Who am I to change anything God has said? Who am I? Who am I that I should go against God? That I should, as Peter said, withstand or go against what God has said? Now, there are people today that will do it. For example, who am I to tell people to call me Reverend Tommy Brooks when Psalms 111 verse 9, God says, Holy Reverend is my name. Who am I to go against God? Who am I to do that? Who am I, if I was a priest in the Catholic Church, to tell the people to call me Father Tommy Brooks? When Jesus said in Matthew 23:7-9, call no man father, who am I to withstand God? Who am I to tell someone to call me father when God said not to? To call me Reverend Brooks when God said not to? And I'm primarily talking to those who are not members of the Church of Christ, and you calling your preacher Reverend. That preacher has gone against God. If he was like Peter, he would say, who am I that I should do that? Who am I to tell anyone that any church will do when Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, upon this church, he identifies it, upon this rock, excuse me, I will build my church. Now, I cannot build Tommy's church. And I could do that probably and be have a lot of members. I said, this is the church of Tommy Brooks, preaching Jesus. All I do is say Jesus, and people come in. But who am I to build my own church, put my name on the sign, and invite people to come in and hear about Jesus? Who am I? Why not say, it's the Church of Christ? Who am I not to say that? Who am I? Who am I that I should go against God when it comes to what people must do to be saved? Such as we hear today, such as I heard growing up, that people to be saved had to accept Jesus as their personal Savior. Who am I to say that all you have to do is accept Jesus as your personal Savior when God never said that? Who am I to tell someone that they have to pray a sinner's prayer to be saved and go against what God said in John 9:31? This we know, that God heareth not sinners. Who am I to tell a sinner God will hear him when God said he won't hear him? Isaiah 59:1-2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not short that he cannot save, neither is your heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins, notice this, have hid his face from you. Here's the decision that he will not hear. That's God's decision. Who am I to tell people, okay, repeat after me this prayer. Lord, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. Nobody in the Bible, my friend, was saved by asking Jesus to come into their heart. No, they were done just what Peter had to go down and tell Cornelius what to do. And Cornelius was baptized as Jesus commanded. Who am I? Who am I to go along with denominationalism today? Who am I to say it? You know, just like the constitutional freedom, any church would do. It's okay for us to all be divided up. We got a Methodist church, we got a Catholic church, we got a Baptist church, we got an Episcopal church, we got the Church of Christ, we got the Church of God in Christ, we got the Pentecostal church. We all divided. Can't y'all see that? You go down the street, which building do you go into? Is it okay to go in any of them? Are all of them teaching the same thing? Who are we to say that it's okay to be divided when God said in 1 Corinthians 1:10, Paul says that there should be no divisions among us. Somebody said, well, that's why I don't go to a denomination. I go to a non-denominational church. Well, let me take you to math class for a second. 10 over 2 equals 5. 10 over 5 equals 2. Got the numerator I was taught at the top, denominator at the bottom. And the reason, and the original number is 10, which is the original number before division came into play. The bottom number on the divider is what's going to divide it. And what I was taught in class was that you know the divided part because it has another name. So if the original church was called the Church of Christ, put him on top, Church of Christ on the divider. Below it, put men. If men divided from the Church of Christ and they named it the community church now, that's another name that identifies them as not the original. So even if you say you go to a non-denominational church, that doesn't mean you're in the original church. This is the matters at hand here. Who are we? Who in the world, what man has the right to go against God? So we want everybody to say, sure we do. But here's what Jesus said in Matthew 7:13. There are two paths of life as I close. He says, enter ye in at straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Please note this, and many there be which go in there. Verse 14, Jesus said this, because straight is the gate. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that lead it to life. Watch this now. And few there be that find it. There's a straight and narrow way. Right down to, narrow it down to any woman, man, boy, or girl. Any preacher, pastor, elder, deacon, no matter who they are. Who are you? Who am I to go against this? Who are we to go against what Jesus stated here? We are to look for the straight and narrow way if we're trying to be saved. And maybe you're on a call this morning and you're one of those. Say, you know, well, I just don't believe that you have to go to church. I don't believe you have to be baptized. Well, who are you to say what you believe versus what God has said? And I'm just saying, I'm doing this not to be mean, but you need to ask this question. before you die. It's going to be too late after you die. You need to ask yourself the question. Who are you? Who are you to make such statement? When Jesus said there's a narrow way, narrow right down to doing it just what God said do. And knowing that I want to be in that number of the few that do find it. Now, you're not going to find something until you look for it. If you're not looking for truth, you're not going to find truth. If you're looking for the straight and narrow way, and you really want it, here's what I believe. That God will put someone in your life, just like he did Philip and the eunuch in Acts 8. The eunuch had came from Jerusalem, where a lot of people were. He was in the desert by himself, and God sent Philip to him. That's the way I live my life. I believe when a person is ready and they're going to seek truth, then God will place me there. And I'll tell them. You don't have to force it on them. You don't have to beg them. You won't have to say, hey, you need to listen to me. When they are seeking truth, those people will ask you. They will find. They are looking for the truth. And this will reduce the anxiety of some of you who want to save everyone. You're going against what God has said. You're not going to be able to save everyone. Jesus said in John 4:23, the hour coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Notice this point. For the Father seeketh such. Who's looking for him? Who's going to find that person who wants to be saved? God will find them. Why? He know their thoughts. He know what they're looking for. Who he going to put in their path? People who know the truth. He going to put a Church of Christ preacher in his path. That's what I believe. I don't go around just asking, hey, you know Jesus? Hey, you know Jesus? I don't run around doing that. I wait till God open the door to talk to someone, and I'll take it. Why? I believe that's the way he do it. How about you? Now, this is an old lesson. I'm going to stop here because we're moving into chapter 11 a little further, more in detail coming up. But I think this is a good place for us to land here because all of us kind of got to ask that question. Now, who are we to say we don't have to take the Lord's Supper every Sunday? Who are we to say there's nothing in the name? Who are we to go against what God has told us to do? Who are we to not give right when God told us to give? Who are we to go against God? Who are we? That's what Peter asked him. He said, man, who am I? I should withstand God. And I think if all of us would do that, then we all would understand the important thing for us to be doing is to do just what Peter said. Tell everybody, here's what I've done. I'm not going against God. And I'm going to tell you something as your preacher, Brother Brooks. I'm not doing it. And I'm not going to look down on nobody else because I know I need Jesus as much as everybody else. I'm not going to look like I'm better than everyone else. I'm just trying to not withstand God. I think that's a good position to be in. Like, what do you mean you're not going to withstand God? I'm not going to go against what God has said. If he said it, I believe it, that settles it. And another way you can say that, God said it, I believe it. That settles it whether we believe it or not. It's settled. So who can be saved today? Well, here's what Jesus said in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. So Jesus then says, God sent his only Son. And his only Son is Jesus himself. Then Jesus then lives a life among people. He did miracles and signs and wonders. He did a lot of great things while he was here. He only lived about 33 years old. But in the end of his life, he knew that he would have to show the greatest love that any man had ever shown. What would that be, brother? He would have to die a cruel death, a crucifixion. In other words, he'd have to be murdered. He was on death row. He was beaten with a whip, wore a crown of thorns, and they drove the nails in the hands and his feet, and they hung him on the cross in Jerusalem. How do we know all this happened? Well, it's the same book. When we read, we can know it. Then that reading and knowing leads us to believe it. If we believe in Jesus, it's because of this book. If we believe he died, it's because of this book. If we believe he suffered on that cross, it's because of this book. If we believe that his blood actually has power to wash our sins away, it's because we believe Revelation 1 and verse 5, what the Bible says, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, notice this, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That blood not only washed away our sins, that blood will purchase his church. Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourself and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseer to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. That's what I say. See, it says church of God, it'll say church of Christ. But it was Christ was God. When he was God in the flesh. And so it was him that shed the blood. When we say church of God, it's church of Christ right here. He purchased the church with his own blood. So that church became the wife of Christ. Ephesians 5 and verse 23. The Bible says there, Ephesians 5, 23. It said, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he's the savior of the body. We learn body of the church. Therefore, the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husband and everything. Husbands, love your wife. Wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for you. So who am I to say that the church is not Christ's wife when the Bible says it is? Drop down to verse 32. It says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So Christ is the husband of his wife. His wife is the church. And every wife wears her husband's name. So who am I to say there's nothing in the name when we see there's something in the name of Christ? Acts 4 and verse 10 through 12. Neither is there salvation any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we might be saved. So who are we, you all, to not believe this? So if you want to call today, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross? Do you believe that? Without ever seeing it? Well, that's faith. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17, hearing by the word of God. When you believe the word of God, you believe God loved you. You believe Jesus loved you. You believe he gave his life for you. He suffered for you. And that will prick your heart to know that you are a sinner. And you would love God for loving you, for sending his son. You would love his son because he suffered such a cruel death to give you and grant unto you repentance unto life, such as with the Gentiles. He granted to them, offered to them, this repentance unto life. And God offers today. But Jesus stands in heaven today, calling, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest for your soul. That's what we want, you all. When we die, we want to die and know that our souls are at rest. Not in torment, not suffering. And that's why Jesus died, to prevent us from going to hell. Just to put it straight. Anyone who don't obey God have went against him, have rejected him, have spoke against him, as Peter told them. If you will ask yourself, who am I to say I don't need to be baptized when God told me to? Well, those who were granted repentance unto life, they won't do that. They'll make the decision to do what God told them to do. So that's the first step. You got to hear. Someone has to teach you to Acts 15 and verse 7. Hear the word of the gospel and believe. Number two, you got to believe. Hear, number one, believe. Number two, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith is impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is a reward of them that diligently seek him. Are you seeking God? Then third step is repentance. Luke 13:3. God has granted unto you repentance of delight. But Jesus said in Luke 13:3, I'll tell you name. But except you repent, you will all likewise perish. Jesus left no one out. Anyone who don't repent will perish, will lose their soul. That's the third step. Here, number one, two, believe. Three, repent. Number four, you got to confess Jesus to be the Son of God, Acts 8, and the verses number 37. In 35, Peter preached unto him Jesus. They came up on water, and the eunuch asked, see, here's water. What's hindering me to be baptized? So when he taught him about Jesus, he taught him he had to be baptized. And Peter said, if you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So your confession is number four. You have to confess before men. Matthew 10:32, Jesus said that. Confess before men. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. But he also said, this is verse 33, if you deny me, I will deny you. Now, I don't know about you. I sure don't want the Lord to deny me on the day of judgment. I want to confess him before men. That's what he said do. You got to confess me before men. So if you say, I want to be saved, then you got to be willing to stand before men and say, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You have to make that noble confession. And Jesus said, if you confess me, then I will confess you. To me, that's a good deal. I like that. I have no problem confessing I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, because I do. If you do, then you have no problem people knowing it. Hey, what you believe? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said, that's what you got to do. So step one, to be saved, you got to hear the gospel. That's the story of the love story of God's love for you and the sad story of his son giving his life for you, which should prick your heart, your mind, and touch you to believe, oh, man, after all I've done wrong, God will allow his child to die for me. And then after all I've done, his son would suffer such a cruel death, an execution by crucifixion, which was very painful. Who are we to not love him? Who are we to not tell people what he said do? Then he says, the fifth step, excuse me, is to be baptized. Mark 16:15. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. Who am I to tell somebody they don't have to believe to be baptized? When Jesus said, he that believeth is baptized shall be saved. Then he said, those who believe not shall be damned. Same next verse. So here we are. This today. I'm talking to those who are not members of the Church of Christ. In particular, that you must hear number one, you must believe number two, number three, you must repent, because God granted unto you repentance unto life. Number four, you must confess Jesus to be the Son of God. Number five, you must be baptized. And when you're baptized, the Lord will add you to the one church. You can't join it. That one church is called the Church of Christ. And in that, once we become Christian, the second part is to those of us who are Christians. Who are we to not worship like God told us? Who are we to not take the Lord's Supper? Who are we to not give right? Who are we to not attend services? Who are we to forsake the worship? Who are we to go against what God has told us to do? Who are we to be racist? Who are we to have prejudice in our heart? Who are we to go against what God has told us to do? Who are we not to repent when we need to? Who are we not to make confession like God told us to make confession? Who are we to go against what God has said? That's what Peter was at. Peter asked them guys who questioned him, he said, who am I that I should say something different from what God has said? So Peter baptized them people, Cornelius and all of them, and we must do the same. Who are we? Who am I that I could withstand God as your preacher? Why would I go along with anything? So some won't take my kind of preaching. Some can't take this. But who am I? You just come down to my soul. Who am I that I could withstand God? For I all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I'm no more like Peter. Peter couldn't do it, and he was an apostle. Don't you know we can't? One of the great things I'm thankful for is have being like Brother Stroud in my life. Brother Stroud and I are on the same page when it comes to preaching the truth, holding to the truth. That's why in the morning time I'm focusing on baptizing people and then edifying the body, getting you all about it. To get on board with salvation, saving the world. This is the mission of the church. What we should be doing is baptizing many people we can. What we should be doing is trying to keep the saved. And that's the combination of work we do. I'm trying to help get them in and keep them saved. Brother Stroud helping trying to help get them in and keep them saved. We're working together. Why? Who are we? Not to do it. If you're on the call today and you're not a Christian, we hope I've reached you this morning. I hope you will consider obeying the gospel, becoming a Christian, and living the life that God would have you live, because God has granted it to you, repentance unto life. That's all of us who are Gentiles, who are done Jew. Thank God he granted us repentance unto life. And that's our sin. Who are we not to obey him? If you're on the call today, you want to be baptized, hit 5-star on your phone, and you can let us know, hey, I want to obey. God has granted me repentance. I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to obey the gospel. I want to obey the truth. Thank you, Brother Brooks, for doing it. And your heart's in the right place. Hit 5-star on your phone. Give us your name. No matter where you are, we'll make that happen for you. We'll make sure we get someone to you to further teach you or to baptize you, no matter where you are in our list. We have a large call this morning. We're so thankful to have so many on from around the nation listening to us. And we're so thankful to have our brothers and sisters who are on the call. And maybe you are one who forgot that God granted to you repentance unto life. And you need to get your life right. You need to make your confession. Or you need to ask God to forgive you. Or you just need prayer. Maybe you just need prayer. Remember, the prayers of a righteous man avail it much. If you need that at this time, Brother Anthony Kirby will lead us in another song. Just hit 5-star on your phone. And then Brother Tim Williams will take your confession and our prayer request. Thank you.